There have been surveys over the years showing that Americans aren't all that trusting of the news media. And here's a new one out from the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at Oxford. It measures not only the lack of trust here in the U.S., but compares it with how the rest of the world feels about their media. Not doing so hot. And our next guest says he's not surprised. Only 29% of Americans say they trust the news. That's last among 46 countries surveyed. We're right behind France, Hungary, and Slovakia. Finland topped out at 65%. Our neighbors in Canada came in at 45%. So why is trust in the American media so low, and what would it take to bring it back up? You can answer those questions at 800-642-1234. Do you generally trust the news or not? Where do you get your news? And if we ask you a general question about the news media, do you have some you like, some you don't trust? Is it hard to trust the whole thing? What needs to change, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Jesse Holcomb is an assistant professor of journalism and communications at Calvin University. He's also been an advisor on Gallup Knight Foundation surveys on trust in the media. That's a different survey than this one from the Reuters Institute. Jesse, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's good to be here with you, Rob.
I imagine a lot of people aren't necessarily too surprised to hear numbers like this. You aren't either. I understand why not.
Well, America's trust problem in the news is neither a new one, and actually, nor is it confined to news. We've been looking at these kinds of data for a long time. The Reuters Institute confirms what we've been seeing. We see it with the Gallup polls, and in my decade with the Pew Research Center, we also saw similar trends. Trust in news has been on the decline for decades. It really reached its high water mark in the 1970s, around the Watergate era, where it peaked out in the around 70%, and it's been more or less on the decline ever since. And like I said, it's not just confined to news. We see a broader distrust growing toward American institutions as well. In fact, Congress and the U.S. government is one of those institutions that actually does get lower marks than the news media, but we see it elsewhere too. It's a broader, really global phenomenon.
But with this global phenomenon, is when we compare ourselves to the rest of the globe, when it comes to trust in the media in particular now, at least in this Reuters survey, I would have thought, okay, maybe this is something that's going on everywhere. We stand out. We are last among at least these 46 countries surveyed. Why do you think trust in media would be so much lower in the U.S. than in so many other nations around the world?
Well, this survey finding is, so it's about one thing, trust in media, right. But there are, and I can count them, at least four, maybe five stories I can tell that help explain how we got here. Here in the U.S., we're reaping the fruits of decades, really, of political elites and even media elites telling us that the news is untrustworthy. And we see this especially on the right end of the spectrum, which is where you see most of that trust decline come from. So you couple that with increased and acute political polarization, right? That's with the right side of the spectrum growing, the left side of the spectrum growing, less in the middle. And you add to that this rapid proliferation of media sources. This is one thing we've seen over the past 20 years or so. Now, when people think of the media, they're not just thinking about CBS News and Walter Cronkite. They might be thinking about Facebook, CNN, their local paper. They might be thinking about an influencer that wouldn't be considered a journalist at all. So that's going to play into this change in trust. And again, I would reinforce that broader cultural context of decline in trust in institutions. And for many years, Americans have, for whatever reason, and I can point to a number of them, felt like their institutions are really just not serving them all that well. You think of it in terms of banking or religious institutions. And we see the same thing with the news media, which has really been hit by a lot of other broader economic factors, too.
I wonder, with all the possible media sources, you just mentioned a few of them, if someone is asked, do you trust the media, they might think, well, I like, you know, this cable news channel, but not that newspaper, or vice versa, or what have you. So I guess, composite, I don't trust the media. Is that, do you think, what's leading to some of these answers?
It's possible, and it's always worth taking a step back and remembering that survey data give us a little insight into public opinion and how people are thinking. But there are also limits to any specific survey question. So it's worth thinking about other kinds of research that have tried to understand and unpack this trust question as well. For instance, there's other research out there that asks people, well, what do you think about the media that you use, your favorite sources of news? Oh, well, of course, with those questions, you see more people saying that, oh, I trust that. I trust my media, of course. Or you ask them, well, what about the local news media in your own community? There you're going to see higher levels of trust, too. The problem is when you ask people their views on the media, all kinds of things could come to mind. And in fact, that's been studied, too. When you ask people what comes to mind when you think of the media, lots of times the first thing that pops into someone's head is going to be a radio talk show host or maybe one of the well-known personalities on cable news. And when you know, no disrespect to any of them, but when you get something like that in your head, you might think of the kind of angry, shouty, sometimes exaggerated discourse that doesn't reflect really all that the news media do.
We're talking to Jesse Holcomb, assistant professor of journalism and communications at Calvin University, looking at trust in media or lack thereof here in the United States in particular, according to a recent Reuters survey. Some of the causes of that, possible solutions too, and you can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jesse, flipping things around for a news organization that isn't, you know, an avowedly partisan news organization that is looking at these numbers and says, well, we want people to kind of trust us. What do we know what kind of things they can do, steps they can take to reconnect with their audience or potential audience?
Absolutely. And my message to news publishers and news organizations around the country is that they can really see this data as an opportunity, even if those Watergate era trust levels may never fully be recovered. It's important at this point to absorb this information and instead of retrenching and getting defensive, instead lean in and really try to better understand what it is that your audience needs. And it's really important, too, to make sure that newsrooms are becoming more reflective of the communities that they serve. There's a reflection in the data of some dissatisfaction with coverage, especially views about how certain specific communities are covered by the news media, especially communities of color. And that's a critique that, to be perfectly frank, is very well deserved. Other groups, young people as well, feel that the news media either doesn't get them, doesn't cover them accurately, doesn't represent them well. And a lot of that has to do with really the composition of these newsrooms. And for many years, there wasn't a lot of choice. We had a handful of news sources that we used, maybe your local paper and broadcaster, national television news. Well, now with more choices, that means more power goes to the audience, and that audience can really speak back. And what we're hearing is that the news media really have to do a better job. For many years, they could kind of take that audience for granted, you know, given the way the sort of market was set up. Publishers can no longer afford to do that. And I would say we are seeing increasingly more signs of news publishers that are really trying to listen, to understand, to diversify from the leadership on down through the reporting ranks. And that's a good thing.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Caledonia. Jack, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? Yeah, this is an interesting topic. You know, bias in the media, you have that on both sides, okay? And people don't trust either of it for the most part because they all, you know, people realize that a certain news outlet is favoring one side of the aisle or the other. The other thing is getting the news out first usually leads to getting information wrong. Okay, and so people are, you know, are dealing with that. I mean, today in Caledonia, we had a terrible shooting, and a lot of the news reports, the reporters are saying, we don't have all the information, but here's what we know. Okay, and so they're being honest about, you know, we don't have all the information, but here's what we do know. And then the other thing is, you know, why do news agencies report specific stories? Okay, the one that comes to my mind is the Russian collusion story. Why was that a daily conversation on CNN News, MSNBC, where they had a lot of past government officials coming in and, you know, stating that they saw evidence of Russian collusion when they talked behind at closed hearings, that they said there wasn't any, but when they came out to the public view, you know, for the public to hear, that they said, no, there's Russian collusion evidence, and I've seen it. Okay.
I mean, Jack, thanks a lot. You've given us a lot to work with there. Let's talk about that first point first, though. Jack saying on various sides, different outlets have either a real bias or perceived bias. Your thoughts on that, Jesse?
Well, thanks, Jack, for the question and the point. And that, to be sure, is reflected in all kinds of survey data. Perceptions of bias by Americans on the left and the right about the media. And what I would say to the bias accusation, and I think I want to really clue in on something that Jack mentioned, which is that there's not just one type of bias that we're talking about, the kind of sort of left-right political bias that we tend to think of first. News organizations, they're made up of human beings that have their own sets of predispositions and life experiences and backgrounds, and they bring that to their work. And so there's all kinds of routines and norms and yes, biases that occur inside newsrooms, for one, that dictate what counts as news and what doesn't. Those are judgment calls. And I would also say to the point about the bias towards speed and being first and breaking news, that's a very real thing. And Jack is right that mistakes too often get made when there is this sort of rush to be first. That's a bias too. Another one I can think of is that tendency toward wanting to always cover conflict or something negative about a community. We see that a lot too. And we see American publics sometimes just kind of fed up with that. And as a result, we see people, what we call news avoiders, people disenchanted with the news media and sort of tuning out altogether. And what I would say is that I understand the tendency to want to do that, to tune out or just to throw up your hands and say, well, they're all just biased one way or the other. But I would say that our call as citizens is really to not just tune out, but to really engage with the news and to ask those questions, to really listen and pay attention, and to really to ask our news organizations to do better, to be part of that community. It's important, like I said, news leaders are spending more time listening, and it's important to speak up with what's really going on in your mind. But there's more than one type of bias. It happens. It's judgment. And I think what we need to see more of now, and what we are seeing more of, is news leaders and editors being more transparent about where they're coming from. We'll never be able to entirely eradicate point of view or perceptions or our own personal experiences from the journalistic process. That would be ridiculous. But to be honest and transparent about news values and about judgments, that will go a long way, I think, toward at least rebuilding some of that trust.
We're talking about why Americans distrust the media and what could be done to restore that bond. Jesse Holcomb is with us, assistant professor of journalism and communications at Calvin University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you trust the media? What do you think of when I say the media? Which sources do you trust most or least? Do you have thoughts on how maybe your local news outlet could do a better job of serving you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the lack of trust in the media. A new Reuters Institute survey shows that less than a third of Americans say they trust the media. That's last out of 46 countries. Jesse Holcomb stays with us, assistant professor of journalism and communications at Calvin University. He works on Gallup Knight Foundation surveys on trust in the media. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts ideas, solutions, and or questions. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Lynn is with us in Green Bay. Lynn, hi.
Hi. I've got a question. Why hasn't there been a push to bring back the fairness doctrine to help bring back some of that integrity that we started losing in the 1970s?
Lynn, thanks for the call. So, Jesse, the fairness doctrine, an old law, a regulation that said you've got to present different sides, different perspectives on politics. Can you remind us how that worked and why it's gone?
Right. Thank you for that. So this was, more than half a century ago, that, as you state, was really designed to push. I mean, this was at a time when the broadcast era was still kind of new. And it was very dominant. And there is this concern that these broadcasters would have so much power that and to use those public airwaves should really be required to make sure that their work was done in a way that was honest and transparent and that provided a perspective, a wide range of perspectives. And over time, that I believe that the Fairness Doctrine was eliminated during the Reagan era. There was a sort of period of deregulation. And what we've seen over the past, 30, 40 years or so is, an increase in the range of broadcast, not just broadcasters, but with cable television and then the consumer internet, many more sources of news and information. Broadcast news no longer the only dominant source of news, although I should say broadcast is still a pretty important source of news for many Americans. Right now, I would say the conversation really is starting to turn at a policy level towards what is to be done about the large social platforms. So that's where you're going to see a lot of energy right now in terms of, and it might feel like a familiar tale, the increasing power of companies like Facebook and to some extent Twitter and others, in being complicit in or shaping or in some way engineering the public conversation. This is where you've seen these concerns about things like false information, misinformation, and fake news come into play. So there's a lot of discussion about that on Capitol Hill too, about whether those should be regulated in some similar way, as was done with the Fairness Doctrine by the FCC. And I say without, offering some viewpoint of my own about what kinds of regulations are required or necessary, I do believe that the concerns about misinformation and the editorial role or lack thereof by these social platforms is definitely something that we need to really come to terms with as a society. But more deeply, the bigger political trends that are sort of an undercurrent that sort of give life to those concerning trends that we see on social media.
Time for one more caller. Mike is with us in Milwaukee. Mike, hi.
Howdy. I've been following the news and for years and public radio since maybe the 80s. So anyway, and I've watched the news cycles and I'll be real quick. What's happening in Cuba? Failed state, the economy. They've been under U.S. sanctions, and we've threatened the rest of the world not to do business with them. So that, what do you expect when you have a major country against a small country? Same thing in Venezuela, and all those children and their mothers, and so on and so forth. I'm a whining liberal, but you know what? That's the fact. And what's happening,
Mike,
in Iran?
I'm going to jump in because we just have a minute or so left. But Jesse, Mike bringing up issues of context. We often see the headlines, the dramatic pictures. Can the media do more to give background on those or other issues?
They absolutely can. But I should also, again, point to a lot of the survey data we have that show Americans tend to have news interest that sort of goes in one direction, but not another. So the news media can do a lot, but at the end of the day, it's also going to be on all of us to essentially vote or march with our eyeballs and really make sure we're paying attention to what's happening around the world. Right now, we're seeing more Americans pay tons of attention to what's happening in national politics here in the United States. Meanwhile, less concern or interest or knowledge of what's happening in our local communities, and also less interest, knowledge, and concern about what's happening in other parts of the world. And to me, that's a concerning development that I would like to see change.
Jesse, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It was a pleasure.
That was Jesse Holcomb, assistant professor of journalism and communications at Calvin University. We talked to him today about Americans' distrust of the media. A new Reuters report, a survey of a bunch of countries, showed that only 29% of people surveyed in the U.S. say they trust the news, and that was the lowest mark among the 46 countries surveyed.